今仔要读的圣经节，记载伫希伯来书第十一篇第十一节到十二节。
Today's scripture passage is found in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 11 to 12.
因着信，连撒那改记，虽然加了生育的岁数，也搁有那项怀孕。因伊以为迄个应当伊的是可信的，所以养一个丰富已死的人，就是出子孙，如同天顶的星，遐样众多；海边的山，遐样无数。
Let us read aloud together. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive.Even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These are the words of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have a good sleep last night?
我昨晚真醉，真醉烧药，我也好困。
So I took a lot of cough syrup last night, so I had a good sleep.
那今天要来继续讲关于希伯来书第十一章。
Today we're going to continue looking at Hebrews chapter 11.
那讲希伯来书第十一章，这个规章拢是咧讲到关于信心。
And we said that Hebrews 11 talks about faith.
It start 提高真醉人的名。
And it mentioned several names.
And
they were called heroes of faith. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Moses. Last time we talked about Enoch. And we said that Enoch had a living faith.He walked with God. He had an intimate relationship with God. In fact, the way that he walked with God delighted God. Why? Because he knew God.
这个就是过去咱所讲的。
This was our lesson last time.
今天咱们另外看一位这个人，另外这个人。
Today we're going to talk about another person.
这个人真特别。
And this person is special.
因为伊是这个女的。
Because she is a woman.
因翁是非常的出名。
And her husband was a famous man.
甚至圣经称呼伊叫做信心的老爸。
In fact, the Bible calls him the father of faith.
您八弟哦，伊是撒拉。
You know this person, Sarah.
今仔日你要来详细看撒拉甲伊嘅信心。
Today we're going to look carefully at the faith of Sarah.
撒拉有啥物款嘅信心
？What kind of faith does Sarah have？
为什么圣经则称呼伊叫做信心其中一个伟大嘅人
？Why would the Bible call her one of the heroes of faith？Now, is this true that Sarah had a great faith? Does she have a great faith?
Sarah's faith is very great. Why did she choose to marry her husband?
If her faith is that great, why would he bring her maid to her husband Abraham? Have you ever thought about that?You know, I also think about that. And because of that, I had a difficult time preparing for this message. Because I'm thinking, is Sarah's faith really that great? If you have the same thinking as I do, I don't blame you. Because if you look at this verse very quickly, you would also come to this conclusion. Just like I did. But thank God that He opened my eyes and the Spirit allowed me to see the truth. That the Bible is never wrong. Because today we're going to look at why Sarah's faith is a great faith. And I'm so excited today to share with you what I learned. But before we begin, let us pray.
Amen.
In the passage that we read a while ago in chapter 11, verses 11 to 12,
In kyo sin, diam sala kai ki, sui dien ke liao si yoke he so, ya etoa sin kanasya, in we I wihige ingun iye, si e sin ko dite.
In verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The author of Hebrews 11 shows us a picture of Sarah's faith. But in Hebrews, you cannot see clearly Sarah's faith. If you want to look carefully, you have to go back to Genesis. And here it's clearly mentioned that Sarah originally was born with the name Sarai. It was when she turned 90 that God changed her name. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. You shall be called Abraham, and as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And it continues to say in verse 16, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. The original word for Sarah means queen.
Queen.
This explains why she is going to be the mother of nations. And that kings of people will come from her. Now, Hebrews 11 mentions several names as heroes of faith. But there are only two women mentioned. The first was Sarah. And the second was Rahab. Do you have an idea who Sarah is? And what kind of a person she is? The Bible tells us that Sarah is beautiful. Maybe she's as beautiful as Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
She's not that beautiful when she was younger, but she goes more beautiful as she aged.
Kasi uwe lang siyao din kay bo suy ta si as they age they lulay lu. Si kalan Noelle o guay compare Noelle.
Because some people they don't start as beautiful, but they grow more beautiful as they age.
Why kilit in kanchu kong Noelle gun ango siyao din kay si kapsiya bisiki.
I remember one time my kumare Jeanette told me, you know, my husband he used to be so ugly.
Si Lucia kao kapui ki ta siki la.
And it's because he gained some weight that's why he's handsome now.
Sinking si te salan.
But the Bible did not describe Sarah this way.
Asang kwan sinking bo te kong sala si.
Or that Sarah was born beautiful and then she stopped and then she was not beautiful anymore as she aged. But how did the Bible describe
Sarah?
But the Bible describes Sarah as beautiful and she maintained her beauty as she aged. Why do I say that? Because the Bible tells us that even at 80, men were still fighting over her. 80, and men still want her. And it means only two things. It's either she's really that beautiful or the people are blind. But the Bible is never wrong, so Sarah is beautiful. If you ask the people in Israel now who is the most beautiful, they will answer you. They will give you this answer, who is the most beautiful, the second most beautiful, and the third most beautiful. And who is the most beautiful?
Gal Gadot.
It's not Wonder Woman. They will say the most beautiful is Eve. Because God himself created Eve.
And so
Eve must be perfect. And she is the most beautiful. The second most beautiful would be. Of course, they would say it's Sarah. Because even in her old age, people still want her. Not only that, men are fighting over her. And the third most beautiful for them is the wife they have back home. And this is what the Israelites would answer. But if you were to ask me, who is the most beautiful woman in the world? Now Sarah may be this beautiful. And God has blessed her with a famous husband and a kind husband. But she has a problem. What is her problem? The Bible tells that Sarah was barren, she had no child. And this is the main point of our passage today. God told Sarah, you will get pregnant, you will have a child. You will have a son. But there is another problem. The passage tells us that Sarah has already passed childbearing age. She is old. In fact, she underwent menopause. So she's not going through menstruation. So if you don't have menstruation, how can you get pregnant? And if you can't get pregnant, how can you have a child? But although she had this circumstance, She continued to depend on God. And so because of that, Sarah got pregnant. And she had a child. And so we can say that Sarah has her personal faith. What is personal faith? A personal faith is a great thing and it is powerful. In the passage that we read today, by faith, Sarah herself. And then we stop here. By faith, Sarah herself. In other words, this passage is not talking about other people. And it's talking specifically about Sarah. It's not talking about the faith of others. It's talking about Sarah and her faith. It's not even saying that because of Abraham's faith, Sarah got pregnant. It doesn't mean that Sarah got pregnant because she was depending on Abraham's faith. But the passage tells us that Sarah got pregnant because she herself had that faith. Because she had her own faith in God. We often think that Sarah's faith is not that great. But we are wrong. Sarah's faith is a great faith. Let me tell you. Remember that when Abraham was 65 years old, God appeared to him in Haran. God appeared to him and asked him to go to Haran. He was in the land of Ur, and God told him to go to Haran to live for 10 years. After living there for 10 years, God told Abraham to come out. To leave everything behind, your family, your house, your possession, everything, and come out. Dear sisters, if your husband were to tell you, from now on, we're going to sell our car and we will just commute. And we're not going to sleep in our house anymore, we're going to sleep in a tent. We're going to a faraway place. Are you willing? And then if you ask your husband, where are we going? And your husband tells you, I don't know. Can you swallow this? This is difficult. You would probably tell your husband, are you going crazy? What kind of voice is this you're hearing? Maybe it's from the demon. Because this is difficult. But because of Sarah's faith in God, although the husband was telling her something difficult, she obeyed. Because Sarah herself had her own faith, the Bible tells us that she got pregnant and she had a child. Maybe you will be saying, but Brother Bonnie, that is not right. Sarah got pregnant because not because her faith was great. How can her faith be great? She brought her maid Hagar to her husband. If you have this kind of thinking, allow me to explain to you why you may be wrong.
Sala chong i dukang haka ho apyak te ham msi inwi ibo sinsin.
Sarah gave her maid Hagar to Abraham not because of her lack of faith.
Wan to teng tige si tig mua u sinsin i za ani kilai chong.
On the contrary, this is because of her great faith that she is able to do this.
Xian king ti chong se ki de dab di jing.
In Genesis chapter 12, God appeared to Abraham and told him his promise for the first time. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, I will make you into a great nation. How? God did not tell Abraham how. And Abraham and Sarah did not know how God would do it. This was at the time Abraham was 65 years old.
Sarah
and Sarah was 56 years old. They had a 9-year difference between them. After 10 years, God appeared to Abraham a second time. In chapter 13, verse 15, God told Abraham, for all the land you will see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. How? God did not tell Abraham how. And Abraham and Sarah did not know how God would do it. And then another 10 years passed. God told Abraham his promise a third time. In Genesis 15, verse 3, it says, and so here God told, but this time, Abraham replied to God. And in Genesis 15, verse 3, this is how Abraham replied, God, since you have given me no offspring, and the one born in my house, which he is referring to Eleazar, is my heir. God answered Abraham, this man will not be your heir, but the one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. You must understand that during this time that God was speaking to Abraham, and this was the third time the promise was given, there was already a 20-year period. And so it took Sarah 20 years waiting for this promise. And so after 20 years, Abraham knew that the son will be from his own body. And so now Abraham knew that he is going to be the father of his son. But God did not mention Sarah. And Sarah was waiting for it for 20 years. And so at 56 and now she's 76, she's been waiting for that promise. And so a third time, God told Abraham that he is going to be a father, but did not mention Sarah. So Sarah must be thinking, maybe it's not through me. It's not that Sarah did not have faith, but she had a wrong assumption. She thought that God is not going to use
her.
Maybe she's thinking God must be using a younger woman, a stronger one. And so because of that, she got her maid Hagar for her husband. This is not because of lack of faith. But she had great faith that God will fulfill His promise. And because of that, she did this. Brothers and sisters, I know that you don't agree with what she did. But you must understand that in ancient biblical times, this is their tradition. A household with no children is a shameful thing. And if there is no child in the household, the wife can get the servants to be the mother of their children. And during the ancient times, these are not wrong. In fact, they can have several wives. And for them, this is not wrong. You must remember that during this time, Moses wasn't around yet. The Ten Commandments were not around yet. And this is the way they do it during that time. And so Sarah giving her maid Hagar to Abraham is not because of lack of faith. But because she had great faith in God fulfilling His promise to her husband Abraham that she was able to do this. But she had a wrong assumption. She thought that it's not going to be through her. And because of that, another 14 years passed. God told Abraham his promise again a fourth time. And this time, God was clear. In fact, this time, God changed Abraham's name. And Sarai was changed to Sarah. And told Sarah that you will be the mother of nations. In fact, kings of people will come from you. And so now Sarah knows that God is going to use her. And so it's not because of Sarah's lack of faith. She had great faith in God fulfilling His promise that He will give them a son. Sarah got pregnant not because of her husband's faith. Sarah got pregnant not because she was dependent on other people's faith. Sarah trusted in God's promise because she had faith in God. Brothers and sisters, this is faith. Because faith is a personal thing. You cannot borrow other people's faith or lend your faith to others. Sarah did not borrow Abraham's faith. She was not dependent on other people's faith. Sarah herself had her own faith. Brothers and sisters, as believers, it's important that we have our own faith. This personal faith will allow us to have an intimate relationship with God. This is most important. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you can never enter the kingdom of God. Let me repeat it. As believers, it's important for us to have our own personal faith. Because this personal faith allows us to have an intimate relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you can never enter the kingdom of God. No matter how loud you profess that you are a Christian, no matter if you say, I've been a Christian for many years, I always come to church. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you can never enter the kingdom of God. And this is the importance of having personal faith. This is the kind of faith that Sarah has. That's the first point. Second, a personal faith is gentle and submissive. Think about Sarah. Sarah is human, just like us. He is not a very special one that she doesn't have any problem. Think about this. She cannot get pregnant. Waiting for 20 years to get pregnant. Have you ever gone across the Bible that Sarah was complaining to God? When people laughed at her and say, you are beautiful but you don't have a child. You're rich but you don't have a child. What are you going to do with your money? Don't you think Sarah would be heartbroken? Don't you think she would complain to God? But you don't find in the Bible that Sarah was complaining. She was silent. But with a gentle and submissive spirit, she submitted to her husband. As she was following her husband, not knowing where her husband is going, is this easy to do? This is not easy. And when she sees her husband playing with the son of her maid, what did she feel? Or if she sees her husband talking to Hagar, how would she feel? I believe she would be crying in her bedroom at night. But even that, you would never find in the Bible that Sarah was even complaining to her husband. The Bible tells us that Sarah had a gentle and submissive spirit. Why? Because she had a personal faith in God. This personal faith allowed her to have a gentle and submissive spirit. And it is this personal faith that allowed her to face her circumstance. And her personal faith that gave her strength to face her life's problems. And this personal faith that allowed Sarah to believe that everything will be okay. In 1 Peter chapter
3,
the Bible gives honor to Sarah by saying she is one that has gentle in spirit and submissive to her husband. In fact, Sarah called her husband. How do we address our husband?
Uwe, honey.
Honey?
Uwe,
darling.
Uwe, what's your name?
Darling.
Uwe, darling. Hey. Yeah, too bad. Didn't I like it too? Quite long time ago. Sala singing go it sing ho in ang guai zu.
The Bible tells us that Sarah addressed her husband as Lord. Is this easy to do? Let us try. Wives, in 24 hours, every time you want to address your husband, you must address your husband, Lord, with a matching bow. For only 24 hours. Why don't you try it? See if it's easy to do. This is not easy. This is not easy to do. But the Bible tells us this is how submissive Sarah is. She is that humble. You know, our culture, our society today, our society today tells us not to submit to our husbands. Because we have equal rights. If you have this authority, I also have this authority. If he wants to do something, I can also do one other things. Especially if the wives are more capable than the husband, why should you listen? And if your husband is slow and cannot do things, why would you wait for him? If the wife is more capable and responsible, why would she submit? Especially if the wife is richer than the husband. This is what the world tells us. This is what society teaches us. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Wives, submit to your husband.
Period.
Period. And what does this mean? No matter what circumstances, no matter what kind of husband you have, you have to submit.
Period.
Period.
No if, no buts.
No condition, no ifs, no buts. The Bible doesn't say that if your husband loves you and knows how to take care of you, then submit to him. The Bible doesn't tell us that if your husband is responsible and is capable of doing things, submit. Or that is, if your husband is rich and knows how to earn money, then you submit. The Bible did not mention something about that. But the Bible tells us that wives submit to your husband no matter what. No matter what kind of husband you have, you must submit to him. No matter what things your husband asks you to do, you have to submit. For as long as your husband doesn't go contrary to the Bible, or what your husband is telling you to do is not contrary to the law of the land. So if it's not contrary to the Bible and the law of the land, then you must submit to your husband. No matter if what he's asking you to do is something that you want to do or not, you must submit. And this is not something that I am saying, but what the Bible is saying. Why? Why would the Bible say that? Brothers and sisters, listen. When a wife submits to her husband.
Ilesunhok ng si Pinkyo in ang epinke.
It's not a submission based on the character of the husband.
Sige, tayo na ilesunhok sa Pinkyo in ang epinke.
Because if a wife will submit based on the character of the husband,
iyong one boy sunhok.
Then she will never submit.
Kana sini?
Why?
Inwi ang silang natya.
Because husbands are humans too.
Lang to silang.
And humans are humans.
Lang tay si chong umtyo.
Humans will make mistakes.
Tay si chong yo umtyo e kwatien.
They will make wrong decisions.
Sige che chu be sunhok um si pintyo din ang si sang.
So a wife must submit not on the basis of the character of your husband. Because if you will base your submission on the character of your husband, you will be a failure. If for a wife to submit to her husband, it's not based on what kind of husband you have, but based on what kind of a person you are. As wives, we are children of God. Because God told us to submit to our husband. This is what God Himself told us. As children of God, we submit to our husband. No matter what kind of husbands we have, we submit. First Peter chapter 3 verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. What does this passage mean? This passage means that no matter how bad our husbands are, no matter the wrong things that your husbands are doing, or that your husbands are not doing what they're supposed to do, you don't use words to win them over. It doesn't mean that you nag them day and night.
Argue.
You argue with them day and night. It doesn't mean that you argue with them day and night. Or nag them. You nag them even at midnight. Do you think that you can really win them over with your words? It's hard. They will nod and seem to agree with you, but they're just faking it. I know because I'm a husband. Sometimes I fake it. Brothers and sisters, especially for the wives, if you have any opinion, the Bible tells us that we are allowed to tell our husband. This is not wrong. You can tell your husband your opinion and then stop. Then allow your husband to make that decision. And no matter what decision he makes, right or wrong, you agree or you don't agree, submit. And this is what the Bible is telling us. For as long as it doesn't go contrary to the Bible and to the law, submit to your husband.
In we kanati.
Why?
Inwi tao kedi undiu esim.
Because through a gentle spirit, through a submissive character, you can win over your husband. Through a gentle and submissive spirit, your husband will realize his mistakes. And it's not through your words or your nagging. This is hard. The Bible tells us that we can win over our husband through our gentle and submissive spirit. So as wives, for us to submit to our husbands, it's really not easy. Because our husbands make wrong decisions. Husbands would sometimes make the things they're not supposed to do. Wives, if you have a personal relationship with God, this faith will allow you to change and help you to submit to your husband. If you have a personal relationship with God, this relationship will give you the strength to submit to your husband. And most importantly, this submissive spirit will also change the people you love. And this is what the Bible is telling us. And this is the lesson we learn from submission. Let me give you an example. I am a man. And as a husband, I sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes.
Okay, 常常唔掉。
Oftentimes. Sometimes.
公婆伊跟我讲。
So my wife would tell me what I'm supposed to do. And as a husband, you know, we are stubborn. Pride? Ah, okay. Because I am full of pride. So I want to admit defeat. So I don't care what you say, I want to do this. So I'm going to do this so that I win. So she would submit. But after some time, I know that I made a mistake. And in the wrong decisions that I make, I would sometimes hear from my wife that she's not happy. But I would never hear from her saying, "See, I told you so, you don't want to listen to me. You are so stubborn." She would never say that. She would never nag me. If I make a mistake, what does she do?
Bawi na lang next time.
She would say, "You can do better next time." You know, every time she says that, I cannot look at her face because I'm so ashamed. Brothers and sisters, submission is this way. I know that submission is difficult. Because the submission that the Bible teaches us is contrary to what the world teaches us. But you can do it. If only you have a personal relationship with God. If only you have a personal relationship in God. This relationship can change you and give you the strength to be submissive. Not only change you to be submissive, but also change the people you are submitting to. This is the faith of Sarah. Not only does she have a personal faith with God, she also has a personal relationship with God. And this relationship allowed her to be pregnant. And this relationship that gave her the strength to obey. I know that the message I'm giving today is a difficult thing to do. I know that the husbands are quite happy. And the wives. I know that it's difficult for you. But submit.
Please try to understand.
Please try to understand that this is the Bible and this is God's word. This is not my word. And this message this morning is not just talking to the wives, but it is speaking to every believer here. As children of God, we must be certain that we have a personal faith with God. Not only that, but we must also be certain that the people we love have their personal faith in God. We must be certain that the people we love is not borrowing from our faith. And that we come to church because we are depending on other people's faith. Not depending on our parents or our friends. But you have your own personal faith. Because if you don't have a personal faith, the day when God comes again, no matter how loud you profess that you are a believer, but you don't have a relationship with God, you can never enter the kingdom of God. Because Christianity is not about religion. Christianity is not about a list of things to do. Christianity is about a relationship. It's our relationship with God. And outside of this relationship, you are not a believer. You are not a Christian. If we don't have a relationship, then we are not husbands and wives. We are not husband and wife because of a piece of paper. We are husband and wife because of our relationship. And so as Christians, if you don't have a relationship with our Father in heaven, forgive me for saying that you can never enter the kingdom of God. The message this morning will end here. But before we end, let me tell you a story. Once a child grew up in church, and his family is a family that loves God. In fact, his entire family serves God. From his grandparents, his parents, uncles, and aunties, they all serve God. And they support the church, the pastors, the missionaries. In fact, the church was built by their family. And so the child grew up.
And
he does what a Christian does. Until one day, he grew up. He got married.
And
after getting married, he lived with his
wife.
But after a while, they suddenly stopped coming to church. Until one time, they completely stopped coming to church. Why did they stop coming to church? To the children here, I want to ask you, why is this child not coming to church anymore? Why did he stop coming to church when he grew up? Similarly, there is a couple.
And
they would come to church with their family. But because sometimes the husband would have to go out of town for work. So on Sundays, he cannot come to church.
Come to Manila.
But when the husband cannot come to church, the wife and the children don't come to church. Why? Why would the wife and the children not come to church just because the husband cannot come to church? To the parents here, to the couples who've been married
here,
I want to ask you this question now. Why? The answer to both these stories is the same. Because they don't have personal faith. They thought that by coming to church, they have faith. They think that just because their family loves God, they themselves have that same faith. Thinking that they grew up in church, they also have that same faith. But brothers and sisters, if you yourselves don't have a personal relationship with God, the things that you do, the words that you say, they all amount to nothing. Brothers and sisters, it's most important for us to know that the people we love come to church not because they just follow us. We must be certain that they come to church with us because they have a personal faith in God. Because they themselves trust in God. Not trusting in other people's faith. Not trusting in the faith of their parents. Brothers and sisters, you who are here, do you have personal faith? The people you love, do they have personal faith? I hope the message today speaks to us. And let us really think about it. Faith is personal. You cannot borrow it from others. You cannot lend it to others. By personal faith, trust in God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you today to give us a faith like Sarah, a personal one, a powerful one, that will allow us to enter an intimate relationship with you. and that will also allow us entrance into the kingdom of God. A personal faith that is something that we can call our own and not borrowed from others. Teach us to have a gentle and submissive spirit like Sarah, so that we are able to trust in your promises and that we're able to obey your word. This we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, who gives us this faith.
Amen.